is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
First tactic only proved to produce greater fruit, and that was martyrdom in the church. Satan rethought things, it seems, and he found that there was a better way, and that is to neutralize the church. His motto became, if you can't beat them, join them. Work among them, slowly pollute them and compromise them so that they are deluded and without power. Cool them with compromise and turn them against each other. No longer fighting the real enemy, but fighting each other. Thus, we end up with predators in the pulpit, people who are in this for themselves and their own gain and for public affection and attention.
In our country, we consider it a blessing that we are generally welcomed by our culture. Sure, there has been a war on Christian thought in our schools and media, but we can live out our faith without fear of harm. As Pastor Troy explains in today's message, while our freedom in this country is a blessing, it has a cultural, spiritual weakness in the church. It's so easy to be a Christian that we can become complacent, let down our guard, opening the door for Satan to mislead us into compromise. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Whenever we do the wrong things, whenever we seek selfish ambition, whenever we do the things that cause the fights amongst us, we are being played. If you have arguments, Satan is surely involved, or not Satan personally, but he is the head. And so all of those demonic forces are in for the same game. They have the same approach. So our battle is not against each other. It's against the enemy. You know, on the cross, when Jesus was being crucified, he didn't take it personally. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They are lost. They're being manipulated. They're being deceived. Now, ultimately, if we allow ourselves to be deceived when we have been shown the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, it's on us. We have a choice to make. To trust in the Lord Jesus, to follow him, or to reject him. I don't believe it. Because it doesn't matter. The truth is the truth. And if we're honest, if we are honest, then our honesty will open our hearts to truth. And all roads will point to Christ and to following him for who he is. Our real battle is against spiritual powers who are manipulating whoever they can in whatever way they can in order to destroy anything that might suggest that there is a God or a purpose beyond this life. As long as they can keep us blind to that fact, then they have won. We are wasting our time and energy as well as compromising our witness when we get drawn into petty battles with each other, things that don't matter in the eyes of God. Their own little petty battles. James is the one who said, why are there fights and wars among you? And he basically said this, it's because you want what you want. And you're trying to get what you want. Because it's all about you, that's the epitome of a fallen nature, is we focus now on ourself, myself, me. What do I want? What's in this for me? Once we do that, once we're in that place, we're defeated already. Might as well call yourself on the little tube flowing down the stream with everything that Satan wants to do. Because when we become selfish and self-centered, we're going to be involved in fights. We're going to be somebody who pushes people away. And we're going to have to defend ourselves because God never said, whatever you want, let's do that. I'm the Lord, but whatever you want, I'll support you. He never said that. He said, if you want to have power, if you want to have strength, you get involved with what I'm doing. You follow me. And so we waste our time when we try to fight the fight that isn't from the Lord. When we are being spirit-led, it brings unity, though. Doesn't mean there won't be wars. We still have an enemy who stirs, you know, and children, you know, it's hard with them because they don't have a full understanding. They only know sight what's around them. And so we have to pour into them and train them up in the way that they should go to help them to see the way God sees things. So we're going to have fights following the Lord, but at least you're on the right side of the battle, and the battle isn't happening because you're trying to fight for what you want. Whenever we are spirit-led, Scripture says we don't even need a law. Because when we're led by the Spirit of God, we're going to follow Him and do what's right in His eyes. This is why a key strategy for victory that we are given is in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. That's why prayer is so important. You know, prayer, we don't engage in prayer to move God or inform God. Like, I'm praying for my aunt, Lord, she's sick and I need you to know about her. And He's like, I know about you. I know all this stuff. You don't need to move me. What I want you to do is I want you to be on the page with me. Prayer is more for you than it is for God. Prayer is communion. It's for God in the sense that it opens your ears and your heart to hear Him. But it is to align us, not to align Him. Can you imagine the picture? How many of you would give a credit card with an unlimited balance to your 2 or 3-year-old? You go for it. You see one of those machines, you get what you want, you swipe. Hey, you're my child. You're my child. You get what you want. None of us would do that. And the Lord doesn't do that either in salvation. Like, we're a child of God. He wants me to have everything that makes me happy. No, He doesn't. Because the stuff that we want will destroy us and take us away. Because there's an enemy deceiving us into liking and desiring things that are not from the Lord. And He does a very good job of it. And there's not one individual in here who the enemy doesn't know your weaknesses. Not one of us. And He plays to them. And He will, if He can, here's the mess He'll create, like a soap opera. He'll poke you. Oh, arr, and you get riled up. And you talk to this person. Oh, man, because this person has a weakness in this area. Whoa, wow, wow. Now we're Facebooking each other. Bam, bam, bam. Passing it on. And Satan's like, the fireworks have begun. He loves it. Whenever we're involved in that stuff, Satan is behind the scenes, loving it, winning the battle in our life. So just like we wouldn't give a blank credit card to our child, the Lord says, look, you need to listen to me. I'm your parent. I'm your father. We have enemies working against us. The basic strategy is He's got the world. So there's the world, the flesh, and the devil and his helpers. All of these three things, all of these three items are kind of being manipulated together, Satan kind of leading it all, to try to take us out. The world refers to the system around us. It can also refer to other people around us that might say things, give a look, whatever it is. They may not even mean anything by the look. It just may be what, just the look that they have, but you take it because you've seen that look on your mom or somebody else. All of a sudden, you're upset. Nobody did anything. But Satan's like, yeah, you see that look? I did see the look. In the flesh, like, oh, man. I got to do, somebody's got to tell them about that. And now He's used the outside. The second was the flesh. The flesh refers to the old nature that is attracted to the world and the things provided that come from the world. And ultimately, the flesh is about gratifying self anyway. That's why you can do nothing in your flesh that pleases the Lord. Very, very, very subtle. See, we could say, we want people saved. And so what I want to do, me or you or someone can say, so we want to do a big crusade. I want lots of people. I want to be like a Billy Graham. I mean, I don't want to be like a Billy Graham. I mean, we want people to be saved. We want something like that. And ultimately, what could be happening is we want to use a godly thing to puff up a ungodly person, a person who's selfish or self-centered. Thinking, look at the people that are saved. Yes, look at them. Glory to me, to God, to God. Satan is so subtle. He knows how to get to us. This is a battle far above our ability to see it clearly. I don't care how well you know the Bible. When Satan's coming, it's hard to tell unless you're in close with the Lord. You don't have the equipment outside of the Lord to fight this fight. You don't have it. This is why we talk about later on the armor. Next week, we'll talk about the pieces of the armor. You've got to be clothed in that armor. Yes, you cannot wear someone else's armor, like David couldn't wear Saul's armor. But you better put on God's armor, because your armor will not win or even defend or even cause you to stand in the least. Scripture says, greater is he who is in you, not greater are you. You're not greater, but greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. The devil is the master manipulator. And as good as you might think you are, if you think you are good, all you are, I can tell you this right now, if you think you're good, Satan's working you over. Just because you think that, he's already winning. See, the things of God are pure, lovely, honorable. They're not thinking about that. They're innocent. When we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit of God who opens our eyes to these things and he leads us. But we also have to know how to fight, how to be proactive in this battle. Because to sit back and to be passive in this battle is to lose. Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. See, that withstand, that means it's coming at you. You will be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. You do all of it just to be able to stand. So now we'll talk about the whole armor, the defense.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message. So be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. Next week, we're going to break down the armor, but what this means is we cannot win this battle. We cannot advance the cause of Christ unless we have this armor on. It's not something we can do in our own strength with our own wiles. Our wiles don't match up with Satan's wiles. Not even close. We need power and provision that only God can provide. And the word stand here, it doesn't mean stand in salvation. Like, oh no, if I fall down, I can lose my salvation. It's not talking about standing in salvation. It means to stand as a witness, advancing. We're in the army now. And so we're advancing a cause and we're defending and helping the world to see and to know God. So we're pushing that cause. And so since we're engaging in that battle, we're either going to be pushing and gaining ground or we're going to be losing ground because we have no witness, no testimony. And what we serve to be is a stumbling block to others by our life, by our heart, by our attitude, by the things that we do. Satan wants you to be a stumbling block. Satan wants you to not gain any ground. He doesn't want you to be a bright light. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. Ultimately, he wants to kill. I don't know if you know this about Satan, but he's not nice. He doesn't negotiate. You can't go, I'm going to be nice and I'm just not going to bother you if you leave me alone. Oh, okay. No, he wants to destroy you, to take you out. But he's also wily, very wily, very cunning, deceptive, wise, but not in a godly way. So his plan involves cunning and deception, strategies to destroy our witness first, because he learned, he has learned that if you take out a person, if you kill them, if you take them head on and you kill them while they are being a light and a witness to others, we call those martyrs, people who've died for their faith. What we've learned over history is that when martyrdom happens in the church grows. People are inspired to follow the cause, that someone would live so committed to Christ. And so that approach wasn't working. And so he understood, I need to do something to take down the witness, because if an average person, not making much of a difference, dies, then it doesn't matter. And so let's neutralize them. Let's make them not much of an impact at all. So he's been working in the church to breed compromise. And there are many who get caught up in the church in worldliness, so that they themselves may even stoop as low as to turn to self-deception, cunning and deceit to get whatever they want. They'll phrase things a certain way, or they'll lie to themselves about the real reason they're doing certain things when God has convicted them otherwise, and they end up making a mess of their lives. You know, it's like we grow up in the Lord. You grow up, you learn to manage your own life first. And then you finally get that. You're walking with the Lord. And let me tell you something, in the seasons of life. Once, when I was single and I was following the Lord and I was on top of things, man, I was on it with the Lord. God was doing so much. I was following him. But then I got married. And a whole new set of trials and things that were in my heart and everything else were brought up. And I was like, whoa, what happened? I thought I was godly. And now I see how selfish I am. And then you finally work, you're growing, you get you and your wife, you're all right, now okay, we're following the Lord again. Woo, we got everything battened down, the wind's blowing again, the Spirit of God is blowing. And then you have a child or children. And the same thing happens, I mean, to a worse degree. Tears everything down. You're broken, you're crying to the Lord, I cannot do this. Now, that was my experience. I don't know about you. Like, wow, Troy just has no stamina for children. That would be true, actually, but I thought, Lord, how much selfishness is in here? How far does it go? Is there another level? It's more children, it's whatever it is, but there are more levels of revealing sin in our life, and we begin to see it, and getting ourselves on course, godly course. Look, every one of those things can shake you and throw you off course, every one of them, if we're not on guard. It's very important that we understand that the people, whether they be a spouse, a friend, a coworker, someone who volunteers or serves with you in the church, your spouse or your children, they're not the enemy. Or your parents, let me say, for the children, your parents are not the enemy. But there is an enemy who wants to tear down the family, the home, the person. If you can say, I've never had any spiritual warfare, no spiritual battles, I say that's not a good sign. That's not something to brag about. It could possibly mean that it's because the enemy doesn't care about you. You're a non-factor. On the other hand, when you engage and you follow the Lord, don't be afraid of spiritual battles, because we know whose side we're on. We know who wins. And we have nothing to fear. The Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear. It means you're on the right side. Verse 11 talks about the wiles. It speaks of a studied tactic. This enemy, he studies like a lion who would sit there and watch. Where are they at? Where are they going? About what time of the day do they do this? What makes them cry? What makes them laugh? What weak area can I attack? And he looks and he studies and he finds. And from the beginning, Satan has attacked the church. The first tactic only proved to produce greater fruit, and that was martyrdom in the church. Satan rethought things, it seems, and he found that there was a better way, and that is to neutralize the church. His motto became, if you can't beat them, join them. Work among them, slowly pollute them and compromise them so that they are deluded and without power. Cool them with compromise and turn them against each other. No longer fighting the real enemy, but fighting each other. Thus, we end up with predators in the pulpit, people who are in this for themselves and their own gain or for public affection and attention, but not those who really care. You know, the sad thing is our culture allows for people to have that ambition. I want to be a leader. I want to be a religious leader. I want to be a pastor, because they stand up and they smile and people say, hi, pastor. How are you? Oh, can you come over, pastor? Hey, pastor. And people do that. And I want that. But really, in the New Testament church and in many places in the world, you have to be willing to die and be a target. The one that people say, wanted, take this guy out. To be a leader. And you don't say, I'm called to be a leader. You know what you do? You lead. You stand for Christ. And as you stand out, they take your picture and they put it up there and say, take that person out. They're influencing too many for Christ. That's a leader, not a position, not a role. There are many in pulpits, I'd say maybe they're not leaders. What I mean, I don't mean leaders in by the book, but I mean they're not influencing toward godliness. They're not leading in God's army. Like a commander who would give a briefing to the troops and says, here's the direction, here's where we're to go, here's the battle at hand. If you die, you have a prize and a reward in heaven, and it's well worth it. But for now, until God sees fit to take you, we're to live and we're to fight the fight of faith. Now let's go. That's the encouragement that we need and what Paul's teaching us that we need to have as we put on this armor. So the real enemy is not the person in front of you. It's the one who wants you to be deceived into thinking it's them. The one you see and feel, that person's not the enemy, but it's the one working behind the scenes, maybe even using them, maybe even using well-meaning people who have gaps themselves. Satan wants to use the external enemy, the world, to lure our internal enemy, our flesh, and our appetites, and our cravings, and whatever our weaknesses might be, to defeat us. So now that we're aware of the wiles of the enemy, are we going to allow him to win so easily? Will we not stand? Will we not put the clothing on? I know I didn't go into detail about the clothing. Next week, we'll look at the equipment we've been given to fight with. But for now, know this, whether you want to or not, you're in this battle. And to not fight the fight of faith is to lose the battle, to fight. Not lose your salvation, but your witness. I don't want to leave you on that. That'd like send us home nightmares. Know this, we win. God wins. He has a hope and a plan for your life, but it involves engagement. I don't mean engagement to somebody. I mean engagement in the battle. He wants your light to shine. Isn't that what he told us? Let your light so shine. Now, what we didn't get from that little tiny, let your light shine, woo, glow, glow, glow. What we didn't read into that was, oh, and by the way, as soon as you start shining, someone's going to see it, and they're going to turn their target towards you, and they're going to try to take you out. But that's the reality of the battle that we're in. Don't be afraid, because we win. And you're going to see amazing things when you rise up and follow the Lord with your whole heart and begin making a difference in the world around you.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned something new from Pastor Troy's study in the book of Ephesians and that your faith has been strengthened along the way. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you, free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes, and when you subscribe, you'll have updated messages as soon as they're available.
We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Pastor Troy will have much more to share next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow.